You know, in the world, from the very beginning, there have always been, since man was on earth, various catastrophic situations. The Bible talks about earthquakes. One of the prophets, minor prophets, mentions the great earthquake. I think it was Amos that mentioned the great earthquake that happened. Then you have storms. You have hurricanes. You have tornadoes. You know that the whirlwind came and Elijah was taken up in a whirlwind. And off he went. So there have been tornadoes. There have been storms. There have been hurricanes. There have been earthquakes. And that's without any wars, you know. There are a lot of natural disasters, and they've been on earth ever since. And you say, well, why would God allow all these natural disasters to happen to people? I mean, they're built in to the motions and the circulation of the wind and the oceans and the currents and the everything of the earth. They're just built into it. We know that there was a flood in Noah's day. God created a flood. There have been floods since. You guys have had floods here. Somebody was telling me that there was a flood that was over top of the bridge out there. The water was over top of the bridge. And there have been floods. There have been hurricanes. There have been snowstorms where people are so deep in snow, they can't move. Unless you have those big snowshoes on and snow skis and you're able to do cross-country skiing or something. But there have always been these disasters. And you think, why does God allow that? Why would he do this? I mean, that's apart from war. Now, war is man-made disaster, which is, in my opinion, worse than anything. You know, worse than any kind of natural disaster is war, where people are shooting you, coming in, tanks, you know, divisions, guns are going, bombs are blasting, and people are running. And because in a war, there's a total breakdown of society. Everything breaks down. There are no rules and laws. You don't know who's your friend or where, you know. I mean, it's just a catastrophe. And most of us are grateful and thankful we live in this country, because most of us have never seen war in our area. Many of you have been veterans. Maybe you've been in the service and you've seen war abroad, but you haven't seen it here. You haven't seen it here. And you haven't seen tanks rolling in, guns happening, and bombs blowing up. You haven't seen that here. You have seen natural disasters. And I think there's a reason for the natural disasters that God built it in. And that is, we have to find some form of refuge. We have to find some place to get safe. You know, there are floods, hurricanes, this and that. And people say, well, I got to run to this shelter. I got to go into the shelter. I got to go find a refuge in this shelter. People have, you know, even in time past, you remember the old shelters, like the bomb shelters people built, you know, in the 50s and, you know, in the 60s, bomb shelters. They built these concrete things. You can, you know, maybe you'll survive a nuclear blast if you have this bomb shelter. And then there have been other shelters. And people in farm areas, they have tornado shelters. They go downstairs and they've got the supplies downstairs. They go underneath their house so that the house blows off and they're safe from the shelter. But where do we turn in time of trouble? Psalm 46 and verse 1. Now, it has a little instruction, because this was a song that people sang. And it says, for the choir director. You see that? I'm reading from the New American Standard Version. For the choir director, a psalm of the sons of Korah. Now, the Korathites were a major area of factor in the singing at the temple. Set to Alamoth. Set to Alamoth. Now, Alamoth is a word that's sort of an uncertain term, but it tends to mean young women. Set to young women. So Most people think it is high pitched. You're singing at high notes. These are high notes, okay? It's a particular style of music. That same word alamoth is found in 1 Chronicles 15 and verse 20, where it reads like this, and Zechariah and Eziel and Sheminoth and Jael and all these other men, you know, with harps tuned to alamoth. Okay? And it had to do with a particular style of music that evidently was high-pitched for women's voices, very high, and maybe the accompaniment was high. So here's the psalm. This is what they sang, okay? It goes like this, a song. First verse, God is our refuge and our strength. Who is our refuge? Where do we turn? Where are you going to go for safety? God is our refuge and our strength. There it is. And then it says, a very present help in trouble. Now you're in trouble. And it could be from storms, it could be from natural disasters, but it could be from other troubles. God is our refuge and, notice, our strength. You say, well, I don't have any more strength. Well, I can't beat it. I can't do it by myself. Where do you turn? Where should you turn? And the Bible says God is it. God is our refuge and strength. A very present, not past, not future. Well, future too, but present help. I mean, what's not going to be any good if I say, well, God used to do great things. God used to help us out. Or God will in the future someday help us out, but right now we're on our own. That's not it. He's a present help in trouble. And notice the next verse, verse 2. Therefore, since God is our refuge, since God is our strength, since God is our help in time of trouble, therefore we will not fear. We will not fear. You know how many people, they fear. You get terrified. You get frightened from natural disasters, from this, from that. Now, I'm not saying that you can stand out in the middle of a, you know, hurricane, don't do anything. My dad used to say, you got to have enough sense to come in out of the rain. You know, you got to, you know, stand out there in the middle of everything. But on the other hand, we won't fear. If we take proper precautions, we won't fear. Why? We won't do it. Now listen, when we won't fear. Verse 2, therefore will we not fear, though the earth be removed. Well, that's an earthquake. The earth is removed. It separates. It pulls apart. Listen to this. And though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. I mean, if you had an earthquake so big that the mountain was splashed into the sea, that is very terrifying. But notice what he says. We won't fear. We won't fear. Why? Why won't we fear? Because God is our refuge and our strength. You don't have strength. You don't have enough strength for it, but God is our strength. Therefore, we will not fear. Though, listen, verse 3, though the waters thereof, the sea now, this mountain is driven into the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled. You ever see the sea roar? It's sort of terrifying, you know. You get out on a ship or a boat or something like that, and I mean the waves are, you know, churning high, and your boat is, you know, going back and forth. I mean, you have a big ship. It could be very terrifying. Though the sea, the waters thereof roar, and be troubled. Waters are troubled. Even though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. Selah. And he says Selah, which the amplified version says, you know, stop and calmly think of this, you know, think about this. I mean, that's a powerful two verses. Two very powerful verses. Well, three verses of Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, and he's a present help in time of trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth is troubled and removed, the mountains are carried into the sea, the waters thereof roar and are troubled, the mountains shake and the swelling thereof. I mean, if that won't scare you, I don't know what will. But we will not fear, because God is our refuge. God is our strength. There was an earthquake in 1971. It was the Sylmar quake. It was 6.9 or 6.7 on the Richter scale out in Southern California. And I woke up from the shaking, and the bed was going like this, and the windows were shaking, and the patio doors were banging, and the whole house was moving like this. And I remember saying, "Oh God, God, help us!" You know, I just woke up out of there, and I knew it was an earthquake, and the bed was going like this, and you know, and everything was like, and you know, just, and then all of a sudden, I cried out, and then all of a sudden it just kind of stopped. Not that I did it, but you know, God stopped the earthquake and things. But I remember turning to God. I had no power. Nobody had power that I knew of. The earth was shaking. The buildings were shaking. The things. And then when I woke up, when it stopped, I jumped up. Of course, our son was still sleeping. He didn't know anything. I said, Steve. He said, "Was that an earthquake?" I said, "Yes, Steve." He was 10 years old. "Was that an earthquake?" Yeah. He went right back to sleep. Like, didn't bother him. And it's wonderful to have the peace of a child like that. You know, you just, you know, parents are all right. You're okay. You know, you're checking it out. Okay, I can go back to sleep. And things had toppled a little bit, and, you know, some glasses, but we didn't lose much in the way of dishes, and you know, some things broke, a bottle fell off and broke on the floor, and a couple of things, but not much. And I, you know, comparatively, I was very grateful. But where do you turn in time of trouble? Where should we turn? Where does an atheist turn? That's what I want to know. What do they do? You know, they're out there all by themselves. God is our refuge, our sanctuary, where we go for help. And it says he's a present help in time of trouble. Now, this is a song, okay? This is what they sang, because this is a poetic song of how God is our help, a present help. In the book of 2 Chronicles, chapter 15, and verse 4, it says, "But in their distress they turned to the Eternal, the Lord God of Israel, and they sought him." And listen to this phrase in 2 Chronicles chapter 15 and verse 4. "And he let them find him." You want to play hide and seek with God? If God doesn't want you to find him, you ever play hide and seek? You know, where is he? Where'd they go? I don't know, they're hiding behind the bush. Was he hiding over here? If God doesn't want you to find him, you won't find him. But here it says, "In their distress they turned to the Lord God of Israel, and they sought him, and he let them find him." We always want God to let us find him. Now, you don't have to worry about that, because you have God's Holy Spirit. So God's always going to let you find him. God's always going to let you. You have him with you all the time because you have his Spirit. But in ancient Israel, at this point, he let them find him. And they might not have found him, but he let them find him. And you know, in the book of Jonah, and time passed, I've given you a sermon here on the book of Jonah. But in the book of Jonah, Jonah was, taken. He said, no, I'm not going to go to Nineveh. I'm not going to go. And he dives over into the sea, and this great fish swallows him. Now, down in the cavern of the great fish's belly, and the digestive juices pouring over his head, Jonah cries to God. Now think about it. You're not only in the sea, you're in the belly of a fish in the sea, down deep in the sea. And you're crying to God, and God heard him. And Jonah said, God heard me. He heard me from deep down in the Sheol, in the depths of the earth. And God heard me in his holy temple. Psalm 18, verse 2. Listen to this. Psalm 18, verse 2. The Eternal is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. My God, my rock, in whom I take refuge. Where do I go when things are bad? Where do I go when things are out of control? Where do I go? Where should we go? We go to the Eternal. God is our rock, refuge, fortress, deliverer. My rock, in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. Listen to the descriptions of God. What is he? He's your fortress, your rock, your deliverer, where you take refuge, your shield and the horn of salvation and stronghold. All these is where you hold up. You're in God. In Psalm 94 and verse 22, we read this. But the Eternal is my defense. I'm reading from the King James Version. He's my defense. And my God is the rock of my refuge. Where do I go for shelter? Where do I go to get protection? Come in. Come to the refuge. Get out of the storm. Get out of the way. Where do I go? I go to God. And twice in the Psalm 46, you see that God is called the refuge. One in verse 7 and one in verse 11. It's the exact same words, almost the exact same words in both verses. The Eternal of heavenly forces. It says the Eternal of hosts. And the Common English Bible translates that the Eternal of heavenly forces. When God is the God of hosts, he's the God of hosts of what? He's the God of hosts of angels. He's the God of the hosts of armies. He's the God of the hosts of the natural elements. He's the God of all these forces, all the forces of the world. God is the God of hosts, God of all the powers. When it says the Lord of hosts, it doesn't mean just Israel's armies. It's the armies of the angels. It's the armies of Israel. It's the armies of the natural forces. It's all these armies, all these forces in the world. The Eternal of heavenly forces is with us. The God of Jacob is our place of safety, our refuge. Selah. A refuge is a place of safety. Where do we go when things are in trouble? Go to God. So we will not fear. Now, that doesn't mean we won't take caution. We just won't be, paralyzed by fear. In Psalm chapter 3 and verse 6, we read this, I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people who have set themselves against me round about. I will not be afraid. Now, You against 10,000 might be a little bit overwhelming, right? But he says, I'm not going to be afraid of 10,000 against me. Let me read that in the New English Translation. I am not afraid of the multitude of people who attack me from all directions. That's the way the New English Translation is. I'm not going to be afraid. A lot of people coming at me. This is King David. You know, I'm not afraid of them. And in chapter 41, this is Isaiah now. Isaiah. The book of Isaiah, chapter 41, and verse 10. Don't fear. I'm reading from the Common English Bible. Don't fear. God says, this is God talking. Don't fear, because I am with you. Don't be afraid, for I am your God. I'd like God to say that to you. Don't fear. I'm with you. Don't be afraid. I am your God. Now, if you had another God, maybe you should be afraid. Because the other gods don't do anything. They can't do anything. They can't help you. They're not a present help in time of trouble. They're no help at all. False gods, statues, Baals, Chemosh, all these, you know, Dagon, all these pagan false gods that have been around in the world. What good are they? What do they do for us? God says, don't be afraid. I'm your God. You don't have any reason to fear. I am with you. I am your God. And then he says, I will surely, this is Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10, I will surely help you. I will hold you with my righteous strong hand. I will hold you in my right hand, my right arm, my right hand. The right hand in the Bible is a symbol of power and strength. When Jesus sits at the right hand of God, he's sitting at the power station, the power play position. That's what it means. He's sitting at the power position because the right hand is the right hand of strength and power. Most people are right-handed, right? Most people are right-handed. My dad was left-handed, but a lot of people are right-handed. I have a brother left-handed, but most people are... How many right-handers do we have here? Let me see. If you're right-handed, let me see. Look at how many right-handed. Let's see the left-handed. Okay, see? Left-handed. And not many left-handers, okay? So we have all kinds of people who are... left-handed, and mostly right-handed. But the vast majority of people are right-handed. So the right hand is the right hand of power, and that's generally what it says. Now take a look at this. Revelation chapter 21, verse 8. But the fearful... See, when you're... It doesn't mean a person... You know, the Bible talks about we learn to fear God... Whoever has the fear of God is right. But this fearful is not the same word as fearful of God. This word means cowardly. Cowardly. I don't know how many of you have seen the picture Saving Private Ryan. Anybody ever see that picture, Saving Private Ryan? You remember, it's a very powerful war story, war picture. But in that picture, there was this guy. He was supposed to help them because he could speak German. He was supposed to go along, and then the guns started shooting. But they said, "Okay, you deliver the bullets because you know we're out of bullets. You come back with the, you know he's carrying all these shells over his shoulder and everything. Deliver the." But he got so scared. He would hide. He would hide here, and he got. And he was cowardly. And in the picture, I remember watching him. I was so angry with him. You know, get it? Do it. Deliver. He's not such a fraidy cat. You're so scared. You're standing trembling. Instead of helping them, he's staring. I want to slap him one, you know, in the movie. Wake up, you know. That's the word, cowardly. Bible says the cowardly. They're not fearful. They're not fearful of God. They're cowardly. and unbelieving. And they go together. If you don't have faith, you get cowardly. You're afraid to live life. You're afraid to do the right thing. You get afraid of everything because you don't have any faith. Faith is trust. Faith means just another word of trust. It's just what it means. If you have no trust in God, then you're frightened all the time. You have to have trust. That doesn't mean that you're, you know, hey, when the earthquake came, I cried out to God, right? Because my fear is I turn to God. Where do I turn to my refuge? Where do I got to go? Because I'm out of strength. I don't have strength. God has strength. Yes, but the fearful, that is the cowardly, the unbelieving, and the abominable, and the murderers, and whoremongers, sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars will have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And in Psalm 91, verse 1, he who dwells in the shelter of the Most High. Where's your shelter? I know they have shelters for people to run in from the rain. They have shelters when your house is wiped off and, you know, the flood took place. They have shelters here and there, you know, when the storm came, the levees broke down in New Orleans and all that. They have shelters. You'll run to the shelter. And they'll give you some coffee and food, and maybe they'll give you warm blankets and stuff like that in the shelter. But where do we go? We can go there too. But always in our mind, where is our shelter? He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Eternal, my refuge and my fortress, my God, in whom I trust. That's what we say to God. You're my refuge, you're my fortress, you're my God, in whom I trust. And we do trust him. We put our lives on the line for him. We trust him. Now, after you read verses 1 through 3, let's go back to Psalm 46 now. And start, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in time of trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. Selah. And that's a pause. Now we look at verse 46, chapter 46 again. We start in verse 4. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God. We go from all that tumultuous thing, from the mountains cast into the sea, from the roaring of the sea, from the uproar, from the cataclysmic events of nature, to all of a sudden in verse 4, after the pause, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy dwelling places of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. In that city, the city of God, God is in the midst of her. She will not be moved. God will help her when the morning dawns. The nations made an uproar. The kingdoms tottered. He raised his voice. The earth melted. Listen to this. The Eternal of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. Selah. So, God is still here. Here's the thing. Who's our stronghold? Where's our refuge? Where is he? God. And God has that beautiful city, the streams thereof, a river. You know, Ezekiel talks about the river, Ezekiel chapter 47. Ezekiel chapter 47, by the river on its bank, On one side and on the other will grow all kinds of trees for food. Now you see this beautiful river, all these trees along the bank, all this food, all this fruit, all these beautiful trees, the nut trees, the fruit trees, all the trees that are bearing for food. Their leaves will not wither and their fruit will not fail. Their fruit will not fail. Now, I have a pear tree. And some years, boy, that pear tree just puts out pears. I mean, it's so loaded. But then another year, I don't have very many pears on that fruit tree. What happened to this? What happened to the crop of pears on the fruit tree? They failed. It didn't come through. People have crop failures. People have tree failures. But these trees won't fail. These trees will not fail. They're by that river. There's that river on the bank of which are all kinds of trees for fruit. Their leaves will not wither. Their fruit will not fail. They will bear every month because their water flows from the sanctuary, and their fruit will be for food and their leaves for healing. That's the city of God. That's the city of God. That's the city that comes down out of heaven. And you read it in Revelation chapter 22. Then he showed me a river. This is Revelation 22 and verse 1. Then he showed me a river of the water of life, clear as crystal, coming from the throne of God and the Lamb. Notice it's the throne of God and the Lamb. It's not just God's throne, it's the Lamb's throne. God and the Lamb own that throne. In the midst of its street, on either side of the river, was the tree of life, bearing 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit every month, just like Ezekiel said. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. Here's that peaceful river. Oh, you have all this tumult, but there's a river whose streams make glad the city of God. And in the future, the city of God is that great city, the New Jerusalem, that comes down out of heaven. And you have all this river and these trees for the fruit of the nations, for the blessings of the world. They come down from God. Yeah. You see? Because the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of forces, the eternal of forces is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. In your personal life, you have troubles. There's nobody who doesn't have troubles sooner or later. Whether it's health problems, whether it's financial problems, whether it's interpersonal problems, whether for no cause of your fault of your own, people reject you, children go off, somebody rejects your love or your care, or it could be that you're ravaged with disease or some other issue that comes on you and you have problems through no fault of your own particularly. What do you do? Where do you turn? Where do you go? The eternal of hosts is with us. He's our refuge. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. I don't have any other place to go. Where do I go? I have to turn to God. We turn to God. A river that makes glad the city of the Lord. Now, in Psalm 46, what does he say? Come. Behold the works of the Eternal, who has wrought desolations in the earth. God has brought about desolations in the earth. He makes wars to cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariots with fire. When God goes to war, God takes care of it. And listen to this statement in verse 10, Psalm 46. Cease striving. Some translations read, be still. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted on the earth. The Eternal of Hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold, our refuge. Selah. So, God is with us. He's the present. And cease striving. Be still for a minute. And know, get it in your mind, you got to know something, that God is God. I am God. He says, so stop it and learn that I'm God. I will be exalted. I will be exalted in the earth. The Eternal of Hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold, our refuge. Now, God has been the refuge. And you remember in the time of, I don't know if you remember this story. It's in the chapter 7. I won't read it. It's in the chapter 7 of Isaiah. King Ahaz was not a good king. Okay? Not a good king. King Ahaz was there in Judea, and God came to him, and God says to him, you know, ask me a sign. Now, King Ahaz was not a good king. He was unrighteous. But God came to him and said, ask a sign. He sent Isaiah the prophet to him. Ask me a sign. Ask me a sign. It can be as low as the ground and as high as heaven. You take a choice. It's a pretty wide variety, you know. It can be from Sheol to down in the middle of the grave to the highest heaven. And Ahaz all of a sudden gets ready. I will not ask the Lord. I will not tempt the Lord. I will not ask. And God says, well, since you won't ask, I'll give you a sign myself. And he said, a virgin will be with child. She will bear a son. And she's going to call his name Emmanuel. Meant God is with us. And when the Assyrian forces, when the Assyrian comes, you don't have to fear that Assyrian. The Assyrian forces are going to come out of the north. They're going to come to you. And they're going to come into your land, and God is going to fight them. Oh, Emmanuel, they're going to come. And we will win, he says, because Emmanuel, God, is with us. And that's virtually what he says. The Eternal of Hosts in Psalm 46 and verse 11, the Eternal of Hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. Therefore, what we have to do is be still. Let us get calm for a second. Recognize who God is. Know that I am God, he says. I'll be exalted. Now, in Isaiah chapter 8, I'm going to read this part. The part where he gave him the sign was in chapter 7. I'm just going to read a few verses in Isaiah 8 so you'll get the flavor. Isaiah 8, verse 6. Inasmuch as these people have rejected the gently flowing waters of Shiloh, that is, God's people there had rejected it, and they rejoice in Rezin and the son of Remaliah, Rezin rather, now therefore, behold, the Eternal is about to bring on them the strong and abundant waters of the Euphrates, even the king of Assyria and all his glory, and it will rise up and it will rise up over all its channels and go over its banks. Now, in this symbol, this is metaphor for an army. It's coming from the north. It's coming from the Assyrian Empire. It's going to rise up, and the army is going to flow over its bank. It's coming into you. It's coming to you. And God is going to use, and he did, you know, at one point, he used Assyrian army to destroy the northern tribes. Now it's talking about destroying the southern tribes. And it says, verse 8, Isaiah 8, verse 8, then it will sweep on into Judah. Now the Assyrian army just took the northern tribes. They did not come down into Judah. Who captured Judah? It was King Nebuchadnezzar, the Babylonian Empire, not the Assyrian Empire. By that time, the Babylonian Empire had eclipsed the Assyrian Empire, and the Assyrian army did not come into Judah. And they tried at one point, you remember, and they were devastated. Remember, Hezekiah came out, and they were just devastated. You know, God killed them all, the angel of God. Then it will sweep into Judah. It will overflow and pass through. It will reach even to the neck, and the spread of its wings will fill the breadth of your land, O Emmanuel, O God with us. Be broken, O peoples, be shattered, and give ear, all remote places of the earth. Gird yourselves, yet be shattered. Gird yourselves, yet be shattered. Devise a plan, but it will be thwarted. State a proposal, and it will not stand. For God is with us. Against the Assyrian, God will be with us. So God here is virtually like, I'm on your side. I'm going to be with him. I'm going to be with my people. Now, these things are written for our faith, for our strength, because we all have troubles. We all have problems. We all have things. God is a very present help in a time of trouble. Boy, what would God be if we just worshiped a statue? You know, let's say this is a statue. I'm going to worship this pole, this statue. And I pray to it and it doesn't do anything. And I get on my knees and it never helps me. Well, what good is that? What good is having a dead God? A dead God that can't do anything. If you remember the great trial of in the time of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, when he had Daniel there. And he had Daniel's three friends. Remember Daniel's three friends? Hananiah, Azariah, Ishmael, and Azariah, whatever it was. They're the three friends, they were called Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And Nebuchadnezzar said, I built this God. Everybody's going to bow down. They're going to bow down to my God. And so when he blew the thing, they wouldn't do it. They just stood there. Everybody else is bowing down. They don't bow down. Somebody saw them. Went to Nebuchadnezzar, you know that these three men, Daniel's three friends, they wouldn't bow down to your God, O king. Furious. Get them over here. You know, I don't want to lose three good men, but you're going to bow down. When I say bow down, now we're going to give you another chance. Now when you hear the band strike up the chord, you know, then you're going to bow down to my God. I'm not going to do it. You're not going to do it? Heat up the furnace 7 times hotter. And they said, we're not going to do it. And he says, where's the God that's going to save you? And they said, our God can save us, and our God will save us. But if not, O king, let it be known to you that we're still not going to bow down to your God. Now, that says, maybe he'll save us and maybe he won't save us, but we're going to obey our God first. But our God will save us. He can save us out of your hand. Where's the God that can save you out of my hand? He said, our God can save you. Throw them in the fire. Throw them in the fire. And a couple of the guys, when they opened the furnace, was so hot that the guys, you know, it killed the guy who was opening the furnace. That's, by the way, that's a good lesson for you. If you're ever in a fire in your house and the door is shut and you feel that door and it's hot on the other side, do not open that door. But that'll be the last act you ever do, okay? Because when you open that door, if it's hot there, you open it. first of all, that the fire is sucking for air. It will just pull the air right out of your lungs. You will faint and pass out, and you'll die right there. So do not. When you feel that door hot, get away from it. Go somewhere else. Open the window. Get out. If you feel the door and it's hot, do not. So these guys open the door. One of the guys throwing Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in dies. He throws them in. The king looks in. The door is open. He's looking in the furnace, the fires. And he said, how many men did we throw in there? He said, three. He said, how come I see a fourth person? I see somebody else. There are four of them walking around in that flames, and one of them looks like the Son of God. Like the Son of God in there. And finally, Nebuchadnezzar keeps seeing them walking around in the flames, and he says, Shadrach, Meshach, you better get out here. Come out here. And they step out of the furnace. And he's like stunned. He's stunned. He's so stunned he can't. And he says, all right. Okay, you don't have to bow down to my God. And I'm going to make another law. Nobody in this nation better ever say anything against your God or against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, because he is the living God. He's alive. He can deliver. And nobody better say a word against him. I make a statute. Federal law in today's world, you know, would be a federal law. It's to say a thing against the God of the Church of God, it's a crime, because he's the God that can deliver. He delivered out of my hand. So we know what God can do. See, God is the guarantor. He's the guarantor of all his promises. Who guarantees God's promises? You can't guarantee them. I can't guarantee God's promises. God guarantees his promises. This beautiful psalm, just right above it, chapter 48, Psalm 48. I want to read that psalm. It's a psalm of Korah, too. One of the Korathites, sons of Korah. That's not the sons of Korah, the one that rebelled against Moses. This is different Korah. This is the Korah of the choir. Okay. And it goes like this. Great is the Eternal, and greatly to be praised. In the city of our God, his holy mountain. Where do we praise God? In the city of our God and his holy mountain. Beautiful in elevation, the joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion. Mount Zion is the joy of the whole earth. In the far north, it's the city of the great king. That's where God is. God in her palaces has made himself known as a stronghold. For lo, the kings assembled themselves. They passed by together. They saw it. They were amazed. They were terrified. They fled in alarm. See, the kings are gathering up, let's all get together, let's go against them, let's go against God's people. They saw it, they were amazed, they terrified, they fled in alarm. Panic seized them there. Anguish as a woman in childbirth. With the east wind, you break the ships of Tarsus. As we have heard, so we have seen in the city of the Eternal of Hosts, in the city of our God, God will establish her forever. Selah. You remember the city of God. Where is the city of God? It's the Jerusalem above. Where is it going to come to? It's going to come here. In Revelation 22, I saw a new heaven and a new earth, and can you see the great city? So as we have heard, verse 8 of Psalm 48, as we have heard, we have seen in the city of the Eternal of Hosts, in the city of our God, God will establish her forever, Selah. We have thought on your loving kindness, O God, in the midst of your temple. you're in the midst of your temple, as is your name, O God, so is your praise to the ends of the earth. Well, what's God's name? He's the Eternal of Hosts. He is our refuge. He is our strength. He is our stronghold. He is our protector. He is our deliverer. As is your name, O God, He's the ever-living one, so is your praise to the ends of the earth. Your right hand is full of righteousness. His strength is righteous strength. Let Mount Zion be glad. Let the daughters of Judah rejoice because of your judgments. Walk about Zion and go around her. Count her towers. Consider her ramparts. Go through her palaces, that you may tell it to the next generation. For such is God, our God, forever and ever. He will guide us until death. God is our guide. God is our strength. God is the guarantor of all His promises. God is with us. Emmanuel, God is with us. God with us. So life is filled with troubles. Yeah. But why are these natural disasters coming about? Why does God let us live on an earth where we could have a hurricane, where we can have a tornado, where we can have a flood, where we can have wind storms, when we can have earthquakes? Why does God let us live on earth like this? So we turn to the refuge. So we come about and realize God is our refuge in time of trouble. God is the place where we go in faith and trust in our minds. I run to God in my mind. Where do I turn in my mind? Where do you turn in your mind? When your power is done, you don't have it, you can't stop it, where do you turn in your mind? Turn to God. We're mortal. We're getting older. We're going to die. Nobody can stop that. We can't stop it. I can't stop it. You can't stop it. What do? We turn to God. Not that He will stop our death because someday we're going to die. I mean, that's just the way it is. I'm no better than my fathers. I'm no better than the great men of God. I'm no better than them. The fact is, I'm far worse than them. But if they all died, who am I to say I am not going to die? Of course I'm going to die. When you're young, you don't think that. Those of you young, you don't want to die now. Well, I don't really want to die now. I'm not ready. I don't want to. You don't want to. We don't want to. Day may come when we'll say, okay. All right, it's okay. It's okay to go. There may be a time. But I don't want to now. But where do we turn? When our power is gone, when we have no more, we turn to God. We turn to God for our refuge. We turn to God for our help. We turn to God for our deliverance. And we put our trust. Here I am. If you rescue me, I'm yours. If you don't rescue me, I'm still yours. Shadrach and Abednego. Our God is able to save us. But if not, let it be known we won't bow down to your God. We'll still trust in Him. Though He slay me, Job said, I will still trust in Him. And then we have this for us in Romans chapter 8. What then shall we say to these things? I'm reading from Romans 8, verse 31. If God is for us, who can be against us? Let me think about that statement. Well, If somebody said God's on your side, you know, you ever, when you were in high school, you ever play when somebody picks up team, you know, let's choose sides, you know, okay, you're the captain and you pick somebody. You always say, I'll take him, and somebody say, I'll take him and I'll take her and I'll take her and be on my. But you know, if I'm choosing, I say I'll take God. God's on my side. What do I care who you take? Right? What do I care who anybody else takes if I take God? If God is for us, who is against us? I don't care who you got on your side. I don't care. It doesn't matter. Put 100 of them. Put 10,000 of them. If I've got God on my side, if God is for us, who is against us? Verse 32, he who did not spare his own son, but deliver him over for us, how will he not also with him freely give us all things? If God didn't spare his own son, why is he going to spare anything else for us? Who will bring a charge against God's elect? You say, well, you're not perfect. You're not perfect. You didn't always do the right thing. I didn't always do the right thing. I'm not perfect. But who's going to bring that charge against us? Let somebody go to God and say, well, you know what? They're not perfect. They didn't do right. Who will bring a charge against God's elect? God is the one who makes us righteous, who justifies us. The word justifies means to make you righteous in his eyes. It's a forensic word. You understand forensic meaning a legal term. It's a legal term. You've been legally made righteous in God's eyes through faith in Christ. You're not actually all righteous. You don't always do the right thing. But in God's, because you're covered with Christ when you were baptized, remember the statement? If you're baptized in Christ, as many as have baptized in Christ have put on Christ. You put him on. Therefore, you are forensically, legally righteous in God's eyes through faith. So who can bring a charge against God's elect? God's the one who makes us righteous. Who is the one who condemns then? If God's making you righteous, who matters? Who's going against you? Christ Jesus is he who died, yes, rather, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who also intercedes for us. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will tribulation do it? Will distress do it? Will persecution do it? Or famine? Or nakedness? Or peril, or sword. I mean, that covers it, doesn't it? All kinds of trials, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, and sword. Just as it is written, just as it is written, for your sake, we are being put to death all day long. We were considered as sheep to be slaughtered. That's from Psalm 44, verse 22. We're considered as sheep to be slaughtered. But in all these things, Paul says, we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us. Not through us, but through God, through Jesus Christ who loved us. And then Paul says, for I am convinced. I'm convinced that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities, that is the power of these princes, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers. There are a lot of powers in the world. nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. If God's for us, who can be against us? Do you think death can separate us from Christ, from God? No, won't do it. And for God's, for our sake, you know, for your sake, we're put to death all day long. We're dying as we get older. But we're conquerors. Nothing can separate us from God's love in Christ Jesus. So we come back to the first verse. God is our refuge of Psalm 46 and our strength, a very present help in time of trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. The only fear we have is the awesome respect and fear of leaving God's presence. And that's when we disobey and turn our back on Him. Because He will never turn His back on us. Nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord.